When it comes to real estate, consumers seem to be getting the heebie-jeebies. Let's talk about that.
You are about to hear the opinions, suggestions, and observations of a licensed real estate broker in California. Since each situation can be unique, do not consider anything said here as legal advice for your specific needs. Always seek out the advice of a suitable professional in your area for advice tailored to your situation. Please remember that when following advice, your results may vary. Please also understand that the information provided here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the speaker considers important.
What do you seem to understand? I'm not locked in here with you.
That's it! You're locked in here with me!
Hello, everyone! Welcome to another edition of Real Estate Realities with the Rebel Broker. My name's Robert Whitelaw, and I am the Rebel Broker, licensed real estate broker in the state of California. Member of the National Association of Real... Tours, but please don't hold that against me. Here we are again, folks. It is Friday, the gateway to the weekend. And, you know, I find myself every show struggling with some different way to pronounce that intro or say it with a different inflection. Maybe I could try accents to you know, liven things up. I hope all of you have had a fantastic week. I don't want to, you know, as I said, I'm going to start doing shows probably once a week on the whole vacation rental, what to do, what not to do kind of thing, just because things are kind of moving at a decent enough pace that I feel like I can give some halfway decent advice to folks who are doing this. In the case of my unit, as soon as I put that sucker on VRBO, I started getting reservations. I currently have, I think, three confirmed, all paid up, vacation rentals for the place, and I've got about six tentatives where they've asked if the time is available, and they've asked maybe a couple of questions about the unit, and I've gotten back to them. So, and it hasn't even been a week. It hasn't even been on VRBO for a week. It got up, I think, Tuesday. So, and here we are Friday, 3 days. So that's pretty good. It's a bit of a pricey thing, but you know, I think that it's better to have something rented and maybe pay a little bit to get folks to see it rather than have it not rented at all. So we'll see how that goes. I haven't really started the push for my personal website yet. I created it and kind of had it sitting there, but I haven't really pushed it. I've just started – probably – I haven't done it yet. I'll probably start – or maybe – I think I did do one tweet the other day. But my first piece is going to be probably a daily push on Twitter. Just a quick mention with a link to the site to see if I can't generate any interest in the site through Twitter. I'm going to try some other advertising schemes, and we'll see what ones pay off, you know, because I'm trying to do this in such a way that I can track where the traffic comes from, so it makes it a little bit easier. So, and I'll share all that with you. So you folks, if you decide to get into the vacation rental biz, or if you're already in it, maybe you're not fully happy with the results you're getting, hopefully my experience can inform what you do. We're going to talk about perceptions today. It's going to be a lot less about realities. I'll try to dabble some realities in there, but it's you know, we increasingly seem to live in a world where it matters more how you feel about something than how something really is. And no matter what your, it's odd to me. You know, there's a lot of different areas where this applies, but it's strange that everyone seems to encourage this idea of even if what you believe is in absolute contradiction with what obvious reality is, that's okay. And it's funny where some areas that's okay and the areas where it's not. So I don't know. It's an interesting dynamic. It's obviously a human thing. So but the truth is, you have to deal with it, right? And the interesting thing is how often these things become self-fulfilling prophecies, right? Consumer confidence is a perfect example of that. When people start to act with a lack of confidence in an economy, it tends to make an economy worse, right? Because when you don't have confidence, you stop spending money, you start doing these other things. So, and that contributes typically towards a less robust economy. So it's an interesting dynamic. Where in that case, what people think and the actions that they take as a result of what they think can actually fold into the reality of the situation and change things over time. And as an important thing, I think that the folks who are most successful in whatever they do, I don't care if it's real estate, I don't care if it's selling cars, whatever it is, if it's raking leaves, no matter what it is, as soon as you can intellectually separate yourself from that group, I guess, if you can form your own opinions from what you can accumulate as facts, you know, I think that seems to be one of the common traits of folks who are successful at what they do. You know, you can still make money following everybody else and following the rat in front of you in the maze, but typically that's not where you're going to find the greatest reward on your efforts. But if you can find that reality that contradicts the popular opinion, or if you can really kind of blaze your own path by figuring things out for yourself, that's where opportunities grow. That's the fertile ground in which opportunities present themselves. I mean, that's true in real estate in terms of being able to find that house that's going to potentially be your great home, or that great investment property that can make you tons of money per month, or that market share that isn't being served in a community for you to start your own business, or seeing a completely gigantic business opportunity where tons of people are in it, but you've got this different way of doing it that you believe will make it much more awesome or satisfy a lot more people who might be interested in it. Being able to spot that stuff that's just off angle from what everybody else is doing, those are the folks, in my experience, who tend to end up being successful in whatever they're doing. So, and I think one good metric to have in your head if you're striving to be one of those folks is to figure out where everyone's going. What's everyone thinking? So, and what I also find interesting is then the oh so predictable reaction of folks with a vested interest, right? And this can be in anything again, right? And this particular example will be in real estate, and we'll talk a little bit about consumer confidence, and then we'll talk about the narrative that comes from folks at the Association of Realtors when news like that comes out. The national and let's be open about what the National Association of Realtors is. It's an association of real estate people, and the way the National Association of Realtors makes money is by having many people paying them dues to the tune of thousands of dollars per person all across the country. So if you want to be a real estate agent who's a member of the National Association of Realtors, you got to pay a good chunk of change every year, and that's how they make their money. That's how they pay their rent. That's how the guy at the top makes way more than most people, by taking money from folks who are licensed real estate agents who also want to be realtors, because those are two separate things. Being a I could be a licensed real estate agent and do real estate and not be a realtor. That's a question I occasionally get. So, and that's, if someone really cares about the details of that, we can have a show about that at some point. But anyway, I thought it would be kind of interesting to sort of point those differences out, because we've got some interesting things going on with the consumer confidence levels. And then we have, of course, you know, immediately on the heels of this news, different spins on it from the Association of Realtors. And I think I have one other. So I've got one cool little thing here from Housing Wire. I have got a National Association of Realtors Confidence Index report that's kind of interesting. Not sure we'll go over it entirely. It's one of those situations where they just lay down tons and tons and tons of data that's most people aren't going to look at. But then I've also got an article that just came out from them just three days ago, I think, on expectations for the next 12 months. So instead of talking about confidence, they start doing projections that tend to push people towards this idea that things are going up. Of course, they link to the Consumer Confidence Survey, but they don't expect anyone to actually read it, because when you click to it, it's this gigantic PDF file. So it's a great way, and with my ex-wife being a PR person for the time that we were together, I got a very unique insight into how PR works, how stories get crafted, how the public gets manipulated in terms of what it sees and what it hears, that kind of blew my mind. We've talked about this on this show before, but you know, most of the articles that you read in newspapers that are supposed to be news items are not news items. They are stories that were written for them by PR agencies I mean, they send them digital files. They send them all the stuff for them to generate a story, and it just it's written in such a way that it's easy for the journalist, quote unquote, to just modify, to tweak it, to give it their own sort of cadence so that it sounds like it's something that came from them. But PR sends out agencies send out packets of this stuff for journalists to write their stories. And of course, if a journalist has got lots of work on their plate, and today if a journalist has anything on their plate, it's lots of work because journalism's in trouble. If they have the option of either completely going with original research and writing a story, or having someone hand them research and hand them talking points and hand them points to make, and then being able to wrap that up in an hour versus taking 5 hours, which way do you think they're going to go? I don't even think I need to tell you the answer to that one. I would guess you guessed it. So let's go ahead and start with the consumer part. This is from a Fannie Mae survey. So it's not the realtor survey, but you know the realtors do their own surveys as well and their own tweak on it. But the survey has basically hit an all-time low. The consumers don't think it's the right time to buy. And it's very interesting given what we're seeing in a lot of markets because, boy, things sure have been selling in my marketplace. Now, they have slown a bit. Maybe folks are sort of going, wait a minute. Some of this just feels a little bit too familiar. Maybe I should back off. But the percentage of consumers who believe it's a good time to buy dropped to 61%. Now, that's an all-time low for that survey. What's interesting is that's right as summer is starting its wrap-up phase, right? We're sort of in the last month, really, right, of the quote-unquote summer season. Most folks like to be – if they're going – the summer season is typically defined by kids going to school. So the earnest search is supposed to start right after kids get out of school, and the search and purchase process is supposed to be done before school starts. And school's only a couple of weeks away from starting for a lot of folks. It's usually either the last couple of weeks in August or the first couple of weeks in September that school gets started. So that's typically when the summer season ends. Now, another thing to keep in mind is that truth of the market, while it was true for decades, has not been as true in the last few years, the last 3 to 5 years, as it has in the past. We've tended to see a lot of bleeding in the market, not in terms of people bleeding, but in terms of that buying season stretching through winter. Last winter and the winter before were very robust winters. Last winter, maybe not as much, but the winter before last, I was busy all winter, not this last winter, but the winter before. So, and there were people buying and selling all over the place. A lot of deals going on then. So, a little bit less this last year, and maybe that's just another indication of sort of a general slow. According to the July housing survey from Fannie Mae, consumer attitudes toward the home buying environment stumbled last month despite positive home price change expectations. The share of consumers who believe now is a good time to sell a home didn't fare too much better, dropping 7 percentage points to 45. So less than half of homeowners out there believe this is the right time to sell their home. I find that to be amazing. Given, and maybe this is just because this is a national number. I'll bet if you took this number just from my marketplace, a lot of sellers would see this as the right time to sell. I personally think that just from a take advantage of the market as it is standpoint, in my marketplace, this is the time to sell. In my mind, there's no question about it. Because I personally believe that we've seen a peak that is probably – or we've hit a peak point that is likely to hold for quite a while. We're not going to get enough growth that it's worth the time for you to hold it, and there's actually a fairly good chance that bad things will happen that could negatively affect the value of your home, whether you want to talk about interest rates or the value of the dollar or other economic things that are going on globally and domestically. You know, there's a lot of papers in the wind that could screw this up. So I think that the current market growth we've seen is delicate. It's not built on a strong economic recovery. It's built on the attempt to create that perception, I think. But every jobs thing that comes out isn't telling us these great jobs are being created. Even when jobs are created, we end up discovering that they're low-paying jobs. These are not careers. These are like the kind of jobs that when I was younger that what you'd get while you're in high school kind of jobs. Tend to be part-time. You're wearing a name tag. You're maybe serving food over a counter. That kind of stuff. So these are not typically your career things that are building up the employment numbers. These are make-do jobs or very first-time jobs, right? Someone who has absolutely no working experience, who's just sort of building their reputation as a reliable worker by taking some of these entry-level jobs, and there's nothing wrong with that. Doug Duncan, Senior Vice President and Chief Economist at Fannie Mae, said, deteriorating consumer assessment of income growth over the past year, as well as increased caution around the direction of the economy and personal financial expectations, may be contributing to the pullback in sentiment. Yeah. That wouldn't surprise me one bit, because you know what? The bottom line is people don't go out and read the financial articles. They might see the headlines, but the headlines actually tend to paint a rosier picture than what's actually going on. I think what's driving this a lot is simply people talking to those they know. You know, whether that's somebody in their family who's unemployed, who's had to take a job at far less pay, or someone who's unemployed who has now remained unemployed and joined the ranks of those that are not counted for whatever freakish reason the government has decided to not count those folks. They hear about folks getting jobs. They hear about the pay levels that they're getting, or they're seeing firsthand how members of their family or friends are having to downsize or cut expenses. I think that's – in larger terms, it's about the feel of things when you're in it that tends to affect people, not what the headline says, not what the government survey says. This is how the economy feels to people, and because no one's reading anything, right? No one's really reading these articles in depth. No one's signing up for economics class to figure out what's going on and what the exchange rate between the euro and the dollar might do to our domestic economy, or what raised interest rates actually do, or why the Fed exists, or what we could do instead. No one's looking into that, right? The truth is, it's just like water. You know water is hot because it's hot when you're in it. You may not be able to tell what the temperature is. You may not be able to tell how it got hot. You may not be able to identify a single thing about the details of why that water is hot, but you know that it's hot when you're sitting in it. And that's really what it is. It's folks living their day-to-day lives, worrying about putting the roof over their head, food on their tables, maybe getting their kids the clothes they need, just worrying about the basics of life. And then in the midst of all that, they are swimming through every day, and all they know is the temperature is uncomfortable. In the process of doing all these things that we all have to do in our day-to-day life. So that's where I think this opinion gets fueled. I you know, and I'm sure Doug is a great guy, and I'm sure he pays attention to the numbers. Most folks don't, or maybe we can just distill his ideas about consumer assessments of income growth into it just doesn't feel right to the typical person. Let's see. He goes on to say that it's premature to read too much into this month's results, as the survey was taken around the time of increased global turmoil, including Greece's potential default and China's stock market plunge, which has receded somewhat. Most of our key indicators are as strong or stronger than they were at this time last year, which is indicative of an improving housing market this year. All right. And that may also be true, but he also assumes that, again, anyone's paying attention to the news relating to Greece and China. When I'm talking to people in general in day-to-day stuff, and if I casually mention, hey, did you hear what happened the other day in Greece with this? And people go, oh, is something going on in Greece? I honestly think that it's far more – I don't know how to put it. It's far more instinctual, I think, than anything else. This is an instinctual response to what's going on. It doesn't feel right. It's the same stuff that in a much more ancient time, when the hair on the back of your neck went up, when your ancestors, this would be a very long time ago, when the hair went up and they decided, you know what, this is the right time to go back in the cave. And then the saber-toothed tiger came out and ate all their friends, right? So we are the result of thousands of years of that kind of reinforcement of instinct. Our ancestors, the ones who survived, the ones who made it far enough to reproduce, they paid attention to those little instincts they couldn't explain, and then they didn't get eaten, right? So we are it. We are the product of all that amazing evolution. And some people, the hair's going up on the back of their neck, and they're going back in the cave. I think it's – I hope that fits. Did I just go completely off the rails? A recent Redfin report said that the summer fall summer falls as the third busiest home selling season after spring and winter. The Fannie survey stated that more consumers – well, of course it is. No, wait. Busiest after spring and winter. Third busiest? It must be over the last year because I bet that's true. Winter was pretty crazy. Spring kind of starts off the summer season, but anyway, I'm not sure I agree with that ranking. Anyway, the Fannie survey stated that more consumers are reporting a negative outlook regarding personal finances in the direction of the economy. The share of consumers saying the economy is on the wrong track rose by 3 percentage points to 54. So 54% think the economy is heading in the right direction. 45% do not. What's more is that those who expect their personal financial situation to improve over the next year fell to 44%. So only 44% of people think things will go well for them in the coming year. Those reporting a significantly lower income compared to 12 months ago increased to 15%, marking the first change in this indicator in 3 months. So let's summarize. More people are concerned about the future. More people are convinced that the economy will be bad over the next year. More people who absolutely believe – not who don't just think their own personal financial situation won't improve over the next year. Those that expect their personal financial situation to improve dropped to 44%. Those who believe the economy in general is on the wrong track, 54%. Those who actually have lower income compared to the same time 12 months ago increased to 15%. None of that's good news, right? Because not only do people have a bad feeling about what's coming, but the number of people who have personal experience with bad things happening over the last 12 months increased. And you got to figure for every single person in that increase, how many people do they know that are seeing their situation and they feel the temperature of the water they're in going up, right? They don't need to read an article. They don't need to see a news item. They don't need to listen to my show or to see NBC, MSNBC or NBC or ABC or anybody. They're just going through their life doing their thing. They know Joe, and they know Joe has had to cut back, or Joe lost his job and had to take a lesser job in terms of income, right? So it's not theoretical, and there's more of those people around. And we've talked about this before in terms of how markets form and how things change. It's a mushroom effect. One person, that may be a single statistic you can point to and say, okay, well, something bad happened to that individual. But the reality is everybody with an eye shot of that individual is also affected. How they move forward and how they do things, how they handle the stresses of their daily lives and how they manage their personal economics is influenced by that practical experience. So the more folks they see struggling, the more likely those folks are to react in a way that is more restrained. That is, you know what, maybe I need to not spend money. Maybe I need to buckle down and sort of shore up the walls of my existence a little bit in case something bad happens. Maybe I need to solidify where I am, where I'm living right now. Maybe this isn't the time to make big changes. Maybe this isn't the time to assume a great big mortgage, right? And they may not even couch it in terms exactly like that. It may just be that little tick in the back of their head that says, you know what, maybe we can wait. This is something maybe we put off till next year, till things just feel better, right? I've had clients say those words to me. You know, we've kind of decided to back off a little bit for now and just see how things sort of shake out, right? All right. Now, of course, in true National Association of Realtor fashion, what the Association of Realtors decided to do upon news like this coming out was focus on expected price growth in the next 12 months, which I thought was kind of interesting as a corollary because none of it is negative, right? The median expected price change from the Realtors Association in the next 12 months by state, and it's a color-coded map. There is no color coding for down. The lowest is 2 to 3% increase. So in the next 12 months, they expect no downturns at all on average in any state. They expect the highest price change in Colorado, 6-7%. And the next high, and that's it. That's the only state that's purple. And then they've got Florida, which is the only state that's red, and they expect prices to go up 5-6% there. And then there's the 4-5% range. This is quite a few more places, and that's Texas, Nevada, California, Oregon, Washington, Georgia, Minnesota, and New Hampshire. Then there's slightly less orangish, 3-4%, which they expect to happen in Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, Utah, Arizona, Oklahoma, Missouri, Louisiana, Alabama, South Carolina, Tennessee, Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, and New Jersey. And then at the lowest end, 2-3% increase. Oh, I'm sorry, Hawaii was also in the 3-4%. And the 2-3% range is Alaska, New Mexico, Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Iowa, Kentucky, Arkansas, Mississippi, North Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, New York, Maine, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, and D.C. And they mention the consumer confidence index in here, but they don't say what it is, right? So realtors who responded to the June 2015 survey expect prices to increase over a range of 2-7%, with the median at 3.4% over the next 12 months, according to the June 2015 Realtors Confidence Index Survey report. Oh, I'm sorry, that's how realtors feel, I guess, about confidence in the marketplace. And I've never met a realtor that doesn't think now is the time to buy or sell. So. there's always that. So what do we do with this data? What's the takeaway? Well, I think the first thing is never trust the Association of Realtors. I'm sorry. I hate to say that, but it's such self-serving crap. It really annoys me. But anyway, maybe that's something else based on a monthly survey of over 50,000 real estate practitioners. Yeah, so this is based on practitioners. The highlights from this are: in June, realtors were by and large strongly confident about the outlook over the next 6 months compared to a year ago. Although confidence appears to have eased somewhat compared to May, realtors generally continued to report strong local conditions in June for single family and townhome properties. Sustained job creation at a pace of 220,000 jobs per month in 2015, the reduction in the FHA's annual mortgage insurance premium rates, which took effect January 2015, and the acceptance of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac of 3% down payment loans since early this year appeared to be facilitating improved market confidence. The fact that you could now put less money down on Fannie and Freddie and that there's a reduction in the annual mortgage insurance premium should not instill you with confidence. That simply means there is less money in there to stave off a bad downturn or something horrible happening, and there'll be less funds there for any defaults. So that's not a good thing. And the sustained job creation at a pace of 220,000 jobs per month in 2015 is a craptastic statistic, which is more indicative of people taking lesser jobs for lesser money than it is of real careers, the kind of house buying careers that you'd want to see if you were a realtor. So I'm not real sure I can jump on the bandwagon with that one either. Realtor respondents expressed concern that the TILA-RESPA integrated disclosure regulations will take effect October 3rd, 2015, may lead to delayed closings. If you go into a transaction, that'll be something that you need to worry about. But I'm not convinced that it's going to have any. It's a truth in lending thing, so it's going to be primarily related to your lender. But so here's the thing, right? So I'm picturing. So they've got a thing that says respondents expressed concern that that it may lead to delayed closings. That's like. I'm sorry. I was going to make a big joke on how the typical agent probably has no freaking clue about this. In my opinion, it will not lead to delayed closings. I think people wrote that because they didn't know. They saw TILA RESPA and they know they're supposed to be afraid of RESPA particularly. So they just say, yeah, no, I don't know why I'm concerned, but you know, it's like when the teacher calls on you and you have no idea what they just said and you're like, yeah, I'm worried about, yeah, that's, I think that's very important. So anyway, So what do we do with this? In general, I think that we sort of just internalize this and realize that there are a lot of folks who seem to, on some level, get that something is not right. This may represent for sellers a concern in terms of just the confidence. If you're trying to get your home sold, because you've got to get your home sold, and depending on what your marketplace is like, this may be a concern for you. If you're sort of one of those borderline communities where things aren't just blasting out the door like they are here, and you're concerned, and maybe you've been on the market for a while, this may be the time for you to try to get ahead of that problem. And either through marketing or maybe a more aggressive price, draw in a buyer sooner rather than later. I frankly do not see any of these confidence numbers going up real soon. What's real interesting is with the elections coming up next year, typically government folks do not want to rock the boat in an election year. It's bad politics. So if we do not see the increase in interest rates in September, and if we don't see them before January particularly, I don't think they will happen at all until after an election. So kind of keep that in the back of your head as we move through this year. If we do see a little bit – now what the politicians would do is if interest rates do get raised in September, they'd do the same thing the Fed's going to do and just – sing the praises of how they have saved the economy and the Fed is taking appropriate action that reflects the confidence everyone has in the economy by raising interest rates, which they can, you can sort of twist that into a great stump speech, right? Look at how much better things are because we did this, right? And now interest rates are going back up because our economy is so much more healthy. But the bottom line is they would want to avoid any of the negative effects that would come from a raised interest rate. So they'd probably really prefer that nothing gets – don't rock the boat until after everybody's on the boat, right? Or everybody who's supposed to get off is off and everyone who's going to get on is on. So that's why another reason why I'm still not convinced that interest rates are going to go up. The Fed is still too political an organization. I know it's not supposed to be. It's sold as not being, but it absolutely is. So we'll see how that goes. But in terms of what you should do as a seller, I think you just need to push harder on getting your property sold. You need to step up your marketing. You need to potentially step up an aggressive price. Do that analysis I've talked about before where you figure out where your home sits in different price bands. If you are just a few thousand away from a more active price band in your marketplace, get your house in that price band so that you're attracting more attention. Remember, price banding is something I referred to where you see a certain price range, more homes tend to get sold. And a lot of that is simply because folks run searches on the multiple listing service with a maximum price. And maybe you're just $2,000 above what is a very common maximum price for your area. So people just aren't seeing your house. I've had situations in the past where I have dropped a listing price by just a few thousand dollars and gotten myself into like for instance, a really common thing is you are $5,000 to $10,000 over a big bunch of zeros. So let's say you are priced at $309,000. Well, if you were priced at $299,000, depending on how price banding works in your area, you could suddenly find double the number of buyers being exposed to your property. And what that may result in is actually several people coming in to try and buy your property, and it could get bid back up to what you originally had it listed for because people are attracted to your property and they can actually scrape up a little more money to make that deal possible. So consider that as an option if it's something that you are not – if you're not seeing enough action on your property and you're really hot to get things done. For buyers – if confidence is headed on its way down, maybe you need to keep your confidence up. If this is a situation where you're going to buy, you need to buy, you want to, you're a rent. Like for instance, one of the groups I would absolutely say to buy a house would be renters. Rent is not going in a good direction for renters. Nothing stinks more than not having year-to-year control over what your rent's going to be or having to decide to move because somebody has raised your rent and now you have to move again. I think one of the biggest reasons to buy a place is to freeze your housing costs. Get yourself a fixed loan so that every month you know exactly what it costs to stay in your house. And if you really don't care about owning a house, then don't buy one. Buy a condo or a townhouse. You'll pay a whole lot less. And again, you'll be freezing your costs with the exception of any HOA fees that might be associated with that condo or townhouse. Okay, again, doing the big push to promote my vacation rental in Hawaii. It's on the island of Oahu, on the opposite side of the island from Honolulu. It's fan-freaking-tastic. If you or someone you know is interested in renting a vacation home for a little while in Hawaii, check out robertsrentals.us. That's robertsrentals.us. And see what you, see if you like it. You can also do roberts.rentals, and that'll work too. So that's kind of cool. You know, and I promised early on that I would provide a discount code for listeners of this show to get some sort of discount on a rental. I'm actually going to do that. I tried to create one this morning, and it didn't seem to work. So I need to contact my person who does that stuff and find out why. I have a hunch it was something I did or something freakish in that area. But anyway, I will have that, and maybe for Monday's show, we'll open it up with a promo code for folks to use. But I'll probably... It'll probably be a fairly decent discount. I mean, so I'm hoping you guys will enjoy it. I mean, just another little thing I like to reward my listeners with. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.